Tonight, continue talking about Bible doctrine, specifically the deity of Christ is what we're going to be talking about tonight. The deity of Christ. So if we can with the handout, I don't know if that's coming up perfect. Thank you, brother. John chapter number 5 is where we're going to be. John chapter number 5. Before we do, though, here's what I want us to consider. Why the deity of Christ matters. Of course, when we're talking about the deity of Christ, we're talking about how Jesus was fully God. So here's what I want us to do. It's Sunday night. Let's kind of discuss it a little bit. So with someone sitting next to you, talk to them about why the deity of Christ really matters. Why should we focus on this? Why is it so important for us to know that Jesus really was the Son of God? As kind of a kickstart for our message. So go ahead and talk about that a little bit. As we turn to John 5, we'll write a few up on the board. Why does the deity of Christ really matter? I'm going to take this jacket off, if you don't mind. It's a little warm up here. Why does the deity of Christ really matter? Talk amongst yourselves a little bit, and we'll put some ideas up here on the board. Anyone want to jump in? Why does the deity of Christ matter? Why is it so important that Jesus was God and that we know that Jesus was the Son of God? Why does that matter? Talk to me. Anybody? Does it matter? It does. Why does it? All right, Brother Ronald, let's start with you. Okay, if he wasn't, he couldn't save. If he wasn't, we'll just do this, and then he couldn't forgive. Sure. Matt? Sure. If he wasn't, then he was crazy, which is true. Any other ideas? Yeah, in the back.
If he wasn't, then it means the whole Bible's
false. Yeah, if he wasn't, then the Bible's false. Sure, who else? Go ahead. Keep throwing them out.
Prophecy.
Prophecy, certainly. Sure, anyone else?
Healing powers.
Sure. What was that, healing powers?
Healing powers.
Healing powers. Sure. Sure. Any other ideas?
Trinity.
The Trinity, sure. Oop. It's always good when I know how to spell. Good. What else do we have?
That he wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice.
Good. He couldn't be the sacrifice. Good. Any others? These are good. Any other thoughts?
I mean, just one, that he would have had a sin nature.
Sure. Good. These are good. These are good. Anyone else? Good. That, now, by no means is this exhaustive, and we understand that. But certainly we would agree that the deity of Christ matters, yes? We would agree that the deity of Christ matters. I don't know if you're aware of this, but sometimes there is an argument made that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's something that actually is really increasing in our postmodern and liberal world, that Jesus never really said he was the Son of God. This was just something that the disciples said about him. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at John 5 at Jesus' defense of his deity. So let's jump right in if we can. John chapter number 5, and let's see here. John chapter number 5, I need to get there. I told you guys to turn, I didn't even turn. John chapter number 5. And we will jump in, and let's start in verse number 16. John chapter 5, verse number 16, to catch us up with context. John 5, verse 16. Here's what it says. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. What are these things? He healed a man. Okay, he healed the man on the Sabbath day, and they sought to kill him. Verse number 17. But Jesus answering them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Basically saying, God the Father works on Saturday, and so should I. Verse number 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And so Jesus gives this answer, this summary on why he is the Son of God and why he can prove that he's the Son of God. And that's what we're going to look at here tonight. Before we do, though, let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in to some of these defenses Jesus gave for his deity and some of the proofs of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are so thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can rest upon it, that we can rely upon it. Lord, we're thankful that we can study and examine it. Father, I pray that as we look at this topic of your Son, Jesus, and how he truly is the Son of God and our Savior, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have an answer, Lord, for times when perhaps we are asked this question. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this passage and this discourse that Jesus gave, and Lord, help us to apply it, help us to understand it, and Lord, help us to be equipped for the future. We love you, we thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Let's jump in right away. There are two big proofs that Jesus gives in this passage for his deity. The first proof is by his works, and then number two, by his witnesses. Let's jump in, if we can, the proof of his works. In verse number 19 is where we're going to jump in. Jesus answering said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Son raised up, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Three simple works that prove, that show Jesus' deity here in this passage. Let's have you study it, look at it. Let's see if you can find the three works, okay? From the passage we just read, what are the three things that Jesus has done that show, that prove that he is the Son of God? Three duties, if you will, three accomplishments, three things that Jesus did specifically that showed that he's the Son of God from these verses. What do you think? Any of them stand out to you? Any ideas? Jesus is giving proofs for his deity in this passage.
He said, the Son can do only what he sees his Father doing.
Good, good. So he does what the Father does. Specifically in this passage, what is he referring to, the thing that he did? What was it? He just healed somebody, right? So I would say this would be what? Miracles, yes? Okay, good. What's the second one that he proves in this passage? The second thing that the Son does, or the second thing that the Son will do, that illustrates that he is the Son of God. Raise people from the dead. Good. So we have raising. Raise from the dead. Good. And the third thing that we see in this passage, did you catch it? The third thing that we see?
The judgment.
Good.
The Father turned the judgment over to him.
Good. Perfect. So these three are proofs Jesus gives to the Pharisees that, hey, I am truly the Son of God. Let's break these down a little bit if we can. First off, his miraculous power. At this point in the gospel record, Jesus had performed 19 miracles. Remember, this is very early in Jesus' ministry. We're only in John chapter number 5 here, okay? And really the entire first chapter is just kind of preliminary. So this is very early in Jesus' ministry, but he's already done 19 different miracles that we know of that are recorded up to this point. And you find it very clear in this passage why he does them and how he does it. Specifically, number one, that he is copying what the Father does. In verse number 19, he says it this way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So specifically, here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, the miracles that I'm doing because I've seen how God the Father works, and therefore as the Son, I can do those same things. He's copying what God the Father has done. And certainly if you look at the gospel record, you see Jesus performing numerous miracles, hundreds of them, perhaps probably thousands of them, of Jesus just healing people. He copies the Father. Number two, he has the care from the Father. In verse number 20, you see that. Verse number 20, let's look at it. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So specifically, here's what it's saying. God the Father loves the Son so much so that God the Father will show him whatever he's doing, and it'll show him even greater things so that it can be a blessing to them. Of course, the picture here is of a father and a son. And if you're a good dad, you try to teach your children how to do things. Right now, I'm teaching Josh how to do different projects around the house and teaching Josh how to take care of cars and all these different things because Josh is getting kind of that age. And that's what dads do. And here he's showing that, hey, the miracles that I've done, the miraculous power that I have proves that I'm the Son of God. Number one, his miraculous power. And again, as I mentioned while we were praying, but for our practical purposes, the reality of this is Jesus' defense of his deity. And if you talk to someone and they say, well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, can I tell you folks, there is nobody that did miracles like Jesus did. It has not taken place. Jesus did amazing, amazing things. Number one, his miraculous power proves that he's the Son of God. Number two, I see in this passage, his resurrection power proves that he's the Son of God. In verse number 21, he says, for as the Father hath raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth or making alive whom he will. Okay, so nice and simply, this is talking about what? It's talking about Jesus raising people. And certainly Jesus raised others. We have multiple passages where that occurs. Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, Jesus raises somebody. Luke 8, verse 41 through 42, 8, 49 through 56. These are all times that have already occurred up to this point. Three different times that Jesus raised the dead up to this point. And so he's saying, hey, look at these people that I've risen from the dead. Can any of you guys raise people from the dead? No, I am different. And clearly he was, right? Number one, he raised others from the dead. But number two, of course, we know that he will raise himself from the dead. If you skip over to verse 26 of John chapter number 5, he says this, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Nice and simply, what's he saying? He's saying, hey, I have my life. Can I say, folks, we don't have our own lives, do we? When God says that our heart stops beating, our heart stops beating. When God says we don't take another breath, then we don't take another breath, right? We don't own our lives. God owns our life. But in a very real sense, Jesus was the one that owned his life. When he died on the cross, he gave up the ghost. He gave himself willingly. Jesus had the power to keep his life. Jesus had the power to take his life, but Jesus also had the power to take his life back, right? And that's exactly what we see. So, number one, we see his miraculous power. Number two, we see his resurrection power. Number three, we see his judging power. Specifically in this verse, in verse 22 through 25, you find that he is the one that is in control. He's the one that's given all judgment. Look at verse 22. Ye worship, I'm in John 4, John chapter 5, verse 22 says this, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse number 27, if you skip down, he says, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And then, verse 28 and following, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father, which hath sent me. Specifically, here's the principle here, here's the idea, that God gave him, God the Father, gave Jesus, the Son, judging power, number one, so that people would honor Jesus like they honor God the Father. Is that not clear there? Verse number 23, he gave them that so that they would honor the Son just as he honor God the Father. Number two, I would say that his judgment is given so that we would hearken or pay attention to Jesus just like we do God the Father. In verse number 24, it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and doesn't pass into condemnation, but shall receive eternal life. So nice and simply, here's what Jesus is saying, if I can. Jesus is saying, hey guys, there are proofs, there are illustrations, there are pictures that show that I am the Son of God. So here are three, right off the bat, boom, boom, boom. Now you have to understand, as you're going through this, Jewish law specifically stated, in order to prove something, you had to have two or three witnesses that proved something. Jesus goes and says, okay, here are three witnesses from my works that prove that I'm the Son of God. But he doesn't stop there, because he's going to give another proof with another three as we continue on. So let's continue on here. Number one, Jesus' deity is proved by his works. Number two, Jesus' deity is proved by his witnesses. By his witnesses. Let's jump in if we can in verse number 31. He says this, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, and these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, in whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Let's jump in on these witnesses. I just read it again. What are the three witnesses that Jesus gives in this passage? Let's discuss it. Let's point them out. What are the three witnesses? I just read the passage. The three witnesses that prove that Jesus is Son of God. You just looked at his works in detail. What are the three witnesses? John. Good. We have John. What else do we have? The works. And what else? And the Father. Good. Good. You guys are great. You don't need me outlining. You guys got this. Okay? The witness of John. Let's break this down if we can. In verse 31 through 35, it says specifically that he was one that bore witness of him in terms of who he was. So let's look at what John said. Keep your finger here. Flip back a few pages to John chapter number 1, can we? John chapter number 1. This is when Jesus was first baptized, when he first showed up on the scene, when he's baptized by John. Let's look at what John had to say about Jesus. John chapter number 1, let's jump in verse number 29 if we can, of John chapter number 1. There's a lot here. I really wish we could spend all the time covering all of it. But John 1 and verse number 29. John 1, verse 29. Here's what it said. The next day, John, again, John the Baptist, what we would call him, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, catch it, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, you say, well, preacher, this doesn't necessarily state that Jesus is Son of God. And I would agree with you. The Lamb of God doesn't necessarily state that he's the Son of God by itself. But you look at all the different prophecies and you find pretty clearly that Jesus would be the one that would be given from God to suffer and to die. If you look at all the prophecies from Isaiah and all the different passages, when John says, hey, Jesus is the Lamb of God, then that proves, that shows that John believed that. Number one, he's the Lamb of God. Number two, if you skip down a little bit to verse number 34, John goes a little bit further. John perhaps had some disciples that were kind of a little slow, kind of like how Jesus did sometimes. And here's what John says in verse number 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the what? Son of God. So not only did John say, hey, he's the Lamb of God, that is, he would be the one that would suffer and die for the sins of the people. He would be the innocent lamb that would take the place of the sinner. But number two, not only is he the Lamb of God, but number two, he is the Son of God. And John said that very specifically, that he is the Son of God. So here Jesus is, and he's saying, hey, you want some witnesses? Because I can say whatever I want, but let's prove it here. So here's some witnesses. Number one, let's look at John. John said specifically that I was the Lamb of God. John said specifically that I was the Son of God. And everybody here loved John, right? The Pharisees loved John. They wanted to go and came and asked him whether he was the Messiah. They looked to John and they held John up in esteem. Here Jesus is saying, hey, remember John? He said that I was the Son of God. What do you guys think? Number two, though, as you guys mentioned, was the works. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus goes back to the works again in verse number 36 after he's just talked about the works. But let's break it down if we can. Verse number 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now, notice something interesting about this. Is there anything here that's different from the works that he already talked about? The works that he already talked about, the works that he already was referring to earlier on in this chapter, they were things that he did in the past. Yes? The works that he's referring to in verse 36 are not things that he did in the past. They're things that he yet has to do. Catch it, verse number 36. Look at it. Verse number 36, but I have greater works than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. That is, he gave them to me to complete. And the greatest work that Jesus had to complete on this earth was what? To die for our sins, yes? So what's he saying? He's saying, hey, you want a witness, you want a proof, you want something that shows that I'm the Son of God. Hey, look at what I'm about to do. Yes, look at the things that I've accomplished, but look at what I'm about to do. I'm about to, in just a couple years really here, I'm about to die for sin. I'm about to take your place. I'm about to be the Lamb of God. I'm about to prove that I'm the Son of God by raising from the dead. Let me show by my works. Specifically here, number one, they were powerful works. Certainly, verse number 36 says that they would be a greater witness to him. He has a greater witness than that of John, a greater witness than what John had said. They were certainly powerful works. Number two, they were certainly passionate works. Remember, the concept and the context here is that Jesus went and he healed someone on the Sabbath day, and they got upset about that. And certainly there was some compassion that was shown there, but the greatest compassion was not what happened on that Sabbath day. The greatest compassion is that Jesus died for sinners, isn't it? That Jesus came and shed his blood for sinners like us. God showed his love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. So number one, we have the witness of John. Number two, we have the witness of the works. Number three, if we can, I'm trying to hurry. You, if you're looking at the clock, you're like, wow, he's nearly done. Yeah, I want to give a little bit of time for some extra questioning on some of these things. But number three, the witness of the Father. Look at verse number 37, if we can. Verse number 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Now, consider this for just a moment, if we can. Why was the Father a witness to Jesus, if Jesus specifically says, hey, you've never seen him? How could God the Father prove and show that Jesus was the Son of God if they had never seen God the Father? Talk to me. Scripture, I would agree. I would 100% agree with Scripture.
Prophecy would be,
yeah, same idea. Any other ideas here? I would say, I would submit to you two things here from God the Father. Number one, his spoken word, and then number two, his written word. Can I remind you that that God the Father spoke several times in reference to Jesus? Keep your finger here if you can. Flip back to Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Matthew 3, verse number 17. This is when Jesus was baptized. Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 17. Matthew 3, verse 17. By the way, this was a very public scene. This was something that was very, very visible. Everyone knew it. Everyone saw it. Matthew 3, 17. Here's what the Bible says. When he was baptized, he goes into the water. He comes out. The Spirit of God descends like a dove upon him. Verse number 17. Here's what the Bible says. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, then what does that mean? Who gave the voice, folks? God the Father, yes? Number two, if we can, flip over to Matthew 17 and verse number 5. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. This is at the Transfiguration. Jesus is up on the mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he's up there on the mountain. And here's what happens in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. While he, this is Peter, yet spake, talking about how he should make tabernacles for Elijah and for Moses, because they had shown up as well in their transfigured bodies. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which saith, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So number two time that God the Father speaks about the Son. Are you all with me, folks? Yes? And then one more time, flip over to John chapter number 12, can we? John chapter number 12 and verse number 28. John chapter 12, verse number 28. Jesus at this point is in Jerusalem. John 12, verse number 28. Jesus is praying that the Son of Man would be glorified, that Jesus would be glorified in what was about to be accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. He says this, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. And came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And so some people speculate and say, well, it was an angel. Or some people say, oh, well, it was just thunder that sounded like a voice. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, verse 30, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And he goes on. Can I say, three times God the Father spoke from heaven to prove, to illustrate, to show that Jesus was the Son of God. We have multiple proofs, if you will. Do we not? We have the proofs of his works. He gave three of them. Remember, two or three witnesses. Everything should be established. He's now doing the second group of proofs, which is by his witnesses. And multiple times, John said, yes, he is the Son of God. multiple works, which he will accomplish in his death, burial, and resurrection. He proves it. Multiple times God the Father said, this is my son. I'm pleased. I'm glorified through him. All these things occur. But the greatest proof, back to John chapter number 5, the greatest proof is the scriptures. John chapter number 5, and let's look at verse 38 and 39. Jesus says, actually, we'll jump in verse number 37. The Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Of course, he's saying up to this point is what he's saying. Up to this point, you had never heard God the Father. Now you all have heard him. Verse number 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Verse 38. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. He speaks of the written word of God. Specifically, as Waylon mentioned, prophecy is what he's talking about. He's saying, hey, if you look through the Bible, if you look through the word of God, it will prove, it will show beyond a shadow of a doubt who I am. And by the way, can I just say, folks, if we look at prophecy, we can very clearly see that Jesus was the Son of God. There is no denying it. There is no shaking. There is no, oh, well, maybe, but kind of not. No, no, no. Forget all the crazy groups out there. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You all with me, folks? He is the Son of God. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to get through all of that, cover all of that, because perhaps you might go and you might be thinking, okay, what are some of these prophecies that show that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's just say that you're talking to somebody that, I don't know, is a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon and doesn't believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was not the Son of God, that there is only one God, God the Father, and they do not believe in the Trinity. We do believe in the Trinity. I'm going to do a whole series on that once we get through the Holy Spirit. But we do believe in the Trinity. And we're very firm on that. Some people might believe that Jesus was just another God and we can kind of attain to that same level. That's what the Mormons believe. That we can become gods just like Jesus is God. Can I say that's not right either? Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. He was unique and special. So, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give a little bit of time. We got 15 minutes, okay? I want to give a little bit of time in terms of discussing and talking through some of these things related to Jesus, his deity, and who he is. So here's what we're going to do, okay? I'm going to erase the board. I want us to think up some of the verses, some of the passages that specifically refer to Jesus being the Son of God. He said, search the scriptures, for those are what testify of me. So let's talk through. What are some of these passages? I want you, if someone asks you, hey, how can I know that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus just said, search the scriptures. They're what testify of me. So talk to me. What are some passages that show, that prove that Jesus is the Son of God? You may not know the reference. That's fine. But if you know the idea of the verse, we can look at that and we can examine it here in the little bit of time that we have left. What are some passages that show that Jesus was the Son of God, who he was specifically related to his deity? Okay, we got a few. Brother Ronald, go ahead. You're okay, bro. I would 100% agree. What are some of those prophecies? Okay, good. Virgin birth. Sure. There's lots of them. Matt, what did you have, bro?
Well, I was going to say John 1. But I don't know that.
No, that's fine. John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Good. John 1, 1 and following. Good. What other passages do we have? Yeah. Good. John 10:30. Good. Good. What else? What are some other passages that show that Jesus is Son of God?
John 20, 31.
John 20, 31? Good. What does John 20, 31 say? Good. So he did many signs that proved that, kind of like what we were just talking about. What others? Did I see another hand? I thought I saw another hand. What are some other passages that show, that illustrate that Jesus is the Son of God? Any other passages coming to mind? Any others? There's really a lot of them.
I mean, there's the whole Isaiah.
Yeah, let's take our Bibles. Let's look at it. The book of Isaiah, if we can. Isaiah chapter number 7, to start off, the book of Isaiah chapter number 7, starting off, because these prophecies kind of go together. Isaiah chapter number 7, and this is specifically the prophecy of the virgin birth. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14, it says, Isaiah 7, 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So, of course, there's a virgin birth, but number two, there's the name Emmanuel. And what does the name Emmanuel mean? Do you remember? God with us. Quite literally, the name of Jesus, one of the things that he's called, by the way, he's called that in Matthew, one of the things that he's called is God with us. Let's skip ahead a little bit, though, to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." That pretty much speaks to it right there. "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And it talks about how his reign will never end. Nice and simply, folks, this points to Jesus, the Messiah, being what? The Son of God, right? That he would be co-equal with the Father, that he would be the mighty God, that he would be eternal. His reign would never end. This points to those facts. Any other verses coming to mind? Yeah. Good. "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Good. That's a good one. And of course, referring back to how God was still God back in that time and how he still is. Good. What other passages come to mind? Any others that refer to Jesus being the Son of God? These are good and helpful. Yes. Good. Referring to the lineage, I would agree. You'd have to go through several different ones, but yes, I would agree. Yeah, how it refers to Jesus being directly coming from Abraham, the one that would bring, that would bless all nations through him. So yeah, I would agree with that. What other passages come to mind? Good. And he came from heaven. Very good. Good. Any others coming to mind? What about Isaiah 53, right? That classic passage that talks about Jesus being crucified and literally that he would see his days, that he would be prolonged, that he would have life, and that he would one day receive all the blessings and all the treasures for that. Okay, so Isaiah 53 would be a good one. What about, there's so many. Any others that come to mind? I don't want to give everything out. I want to get it from you guys. Any other passages that come to mind? These are good. Other passages that refer to Jesus being the Son of God. Malcolm, go ahead. That would work. Alpha and Omega. Specifically him claiming to be the Son of God. Good. Good. Any others that come to mind? These are good. These are helpful. It's important for us to search the scriptures. That's what Jesus said for them to do, right? Search the scriptures, for those are the ones that prove, that show that I'm the Son of God. And it's helpful for us to consider and to really examine in our minds, okay, what are some of these scriptures that prove that Jesus is the Son of God? How would you give an answer? I would add to these the passages that refer to Jesus being the Lord, the Jehovah, the promised one, the Son of God. For example, John would be the forerunner that would come before the Lord, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter number 40. And so this passage refers to how he would be the one that would come before the Jehovah. By the way, that is an excellent passage for Jehovah's Witnesses, that John would come before Jehovah. And if you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, maybe you work with one or something like that, and you get into that conversation and they say, well, the Bible never says that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, time out a second. Who did John come before? Well, he came before Jesus, right? Well, the Bible says that he would come directly before Jehovah, the one that would prepare the way for the Lord, Jehovah. So, good. What other verses? These are good. These are good. Any others? Acts 2. Yes. Specifically? His whole message. Good, good. Peter's entire message in Acts 2 that talks about how he was the one that was prepared to take the sin of the world and how they crucified their Savior. And, of course, they then received Christ. Yes? Good. Good. Four in the fire. Good. Good. Any others? Malcolm.
Acts 9, when Jesus speaks from heaven to Paul.
Acts 9, where Jesus, what? I'm sorry? Cut off.
Jesus speaks to Paul for his conversion.
Good. Good. Jesus and Paul. Good. These are good. Any others coming to mind? Good, good. Returning to the Father. Excellent. Good, good. Any others coming to mind? These are good. Can I just summarize and say this? We've already established that there are a lot of verses that refer to this. Yes? And frankly, we could go on, if we wanted to, talking about all the different verses that refer specifically to Jesus being the Son of God. That Jesus is, in fact, God. He is deity. He is God. Can I say, folks, the reality is very simple. A few things. One, if I were to wrap all this up in a bow. One, we need to have full confidence that Jesus is the Son of God. No doubt, no question, no, I think so, I hope so, I may, maybe. No, no, no. Search the scriptures, they prove it. Right? If someone comes to you and says, well, Jesus is not the Son of God, no, no, no. Look at God's word. It illustrates it abundantly. Do you know the number one group whereby Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, where they get their members, if you want to call them that, where do they get them from? Number one group is from Baptists. Number one group from Baptists. Every year, we of course have a Mormon temple just down the road. Every year I get friend requests from the Mormon temple. Every year I get people that from the Mormon temple that want to come in here and teach here because they are convinced, they try to say that they're the exact same as we are, that we're all the same. I get regular requests for our youth group to meet with the Mormon youth group down the road and to have fellowships and to have different activities. Can I say, folks, we are not the same. Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe that. You all with me, folks? And we need to stand firm on that, and we need to say, no, there's some things that are just, they're irreconcilable. Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of God, and we can be confident in that. You all with me? We should be confident in it. Jesus gave a whole lot of proofs in this passage, and I wish I could give more. Really, the entire book of John is a proof for Jesus' deity. As a matter of fact, it says, these things were written so that you know that he is the Son of God and that believing you can have life through his name. That's why the book was written. So if you have questions about this, well, is Jesus, was he? Well, I don't know. Read through the book of John, study it. Beyond that, read some of these passages. I could give you a whole list of Bible prophecy. A few years ago, a couple years ago, near the Christmas time, I gave a whole list of Old Testament prophecy that proved that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God. And if you'd like that, I would love to print that out for you if you'd be interested in that study. But can I summarize and say, one, we need to be very confident in who Jesus is, because that's who our faith is built on. It's built on Christ, right? If Jesus is not the Son of God, like we established at the very beginning, if he's not the Son of God, he cannot be our Savior, right? He's just another man. He's just another person, just like we are. His death didn't make any difference, just like anyone else's death would not make any difference. If I died so that you didn't have to, that would not make you go to eternal heaven or anything like that. Jesus did because he is the Son of God. He was perfect. Y'all with me, folks? So we have to be very, very confident and very sure on this fact, because increasingly, cults are growing, and increasingly, you will be questioned on this. You will. You will. Brother Horst.
See, in these discussions with these folks, they have to totally discount the Bible, because
they do.
All of their belief, the Book of Mormon, was all written by, a human, not a prophet, not someone
right.
chosen by God.
Right.
And so they just automatically say, no, your Bible was just written by people who interpret things.
Right.
They don't accept the fact that Jesus gave them the vision to write.
Yeah, and I would 100% agree. It is something that quite literally in our area, we get Mormon missionaries that come through, we get Jehovah's Witness missionaries that come through regularly through our area. I see them out when I'm passing out tracts and passing out flyers. I see them. I've seen people come to our house. Our house is right there. You have to come into the church parking lot to go to our house. Okay? And they've done that. Okay? This is something that we have to be very, very established on. Brother Ronald? Yeah, right. And frankly, that's where sometimes it ends up. But we have to be steady. We have to be founded on this stuff. Because if we're not, we'll get pushed over. Y'all with me? I have seen far too many times. You look at the statistics. They're scary. Jehovah's Witnesses actually actively try to find Baptists because they think Baptists don't know this stuff. That's the reality. Mormons actually try to find Baptists because we don't know this stuff. We, as a church, as individuals, need to be sure, established, founded, that Jesus is the Son of God, why it matters, and what's the biblical proof of it. That's why we wanted to spend some time and actually focus on this and get some of these details. Does that make sense, folks? Y'all with me? Be established on this and know it. Know it, know it. Teach it to your family. Know it, be established. Jesus is the Son of God. We know it. We can be sure of it. Because if we don't have that, we don't have a faith. Everything falls apart if Jesus isn't the Son of God. You know with me, folks? So we need to know this and we need to be established on it. Okay? So there's a lot more passages that we could give. Obviously, this is by no means exhaustive. It really is quite literally through almost nearly every page of Scripture proves that Jesus is the Son of God. But these are some of the summary ones. And I hope this has been helpful and practical. I understand that perhaps not quite as practical, because most of us are like, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. Of course he is. But there's something that we need to know, and it's something that we need to be refreshed on sometimes. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's close in prayer if we can, and then we'll let you go. Okay, don't forget about the sign-up sheets out in the lobby. Let's pray, and I encourage you to continue to study this, especially if you're a little rusty on this. When I started asking questions, you're like, oh, I don't know. Study up on this. If you need some other verses, if you want to look up some of those, I'd be glad to help you with that. Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful. Lord, we're thankful that your word has the answers for us. And Lord, we're thankful for this passage here in John 5, where Jesus gave very specifically that he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we can have in that. Lord, that we don't have to be hope so, think so, maybe so. No, that we can have full confidence in who Jesus is, that he is our Savior, but more than that, that he is your Son that came to this earth to die for our sins. Lord, thank you for that confidence. Lord, I pray for any that I might be talking to, whether they're here or whether they're watching through live stream, that don't really know these details and aren't really established, aren't really sure about some of these things. Lord, I pray that you would help them to get that shored up so that way they can be established, so there is no question, especially on this very, very important issue. And Lord, strengthen us in these things, we pray. And Lord, I pray finally, Father, that you would help us, as your word says, to be ready to give an answer for the reason for why we believe these things. So Lord, I pray that this has kind of started some of the groundwork whereby we can proclaim the good news, Lord, to people that don't know it. And Lord, help us with that. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Give us safety. Be with us throughout this upcoming week. Lord, I pray that what we do would honor and glorify you through it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. God bless y'all. You're dismissed. We'll see you next time on Wednesday. God bless.